Amen. All right, the book of James, the 5th chapter tonight, and the 13th verse, 13th and 14th verse tonight. These are very familiar verses of Scripture, but I like the book of James, and it's a good help for the church. Let me read these verses here. James 5 and 13, is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. The church's help is what I want to try to preach to us tonight. On there's help for the church. Now you get to looking at the book of James. It's considered one of the oldest books that was written in the New Testament. And James was the brother. This was considered anyway to be James, the brother of Jesus Christ. And he just had a lot of good things to say. And you could tell by his writings that he had been truly with the Lord. He had a lot of things that kind of went along with, obviously, with the things the Lord said. But just the way that he wrote it, we find that it's probably compared to the book of Proverbs in the Old Testament. Because of more than half of its 108 verses are commands or warnings or a sort of encouragement to the church. Amen. And I think that as if you were to read through the book of James, I think you'd have to say that James had his finger on the church. Don't you? Amen. And isn't it amazing tonight to know that with this book, James, I think they think was martyred in around 62 A.D. And to think that his writings, was good then, and here we are now, couple thousand plus years later, and it's still good for the church. Amen. It's still right because there's still the same kinds of conflicts and problems found in the church today as there was found in those that were trying to follow Christ in that day. Amen. And so in these few verses here, there are three questions that you and I see. It says, is any among you afflicted? The second question was this, is any sick among you? And thirdly, is there any that's merry? And thirdly, is any sick among you? Amen. Now James, as I said earlier, I feel like that he had kind of had his finger, on the church. He had an idea what was going on in people's lives, and he had a relationship with the Lord. His experience with God was very close, and you can tell this as well as you read this five chapters, I believe it is, of the book of James. And one fella even felt like that if you were to go back into the 4th chapter of the book of Acts and begin to read towards the end, Peter and John, they've been taken and they've been beaten with stripes and told not to speak as they have been speaking, preaching as they've been preaching in this name of Jesus Christ. They came back and told the followers, the believers that were gathered together, and they begin to rejoice, and there's a prayer that's said there. And if you begin reading that 24th verse all the way down, one old writer felt like that this come from none other than but James. Just sounded like something that he would say. I don't know if that's true or not, but just his relationship with Jesus Christ, amen, made him to think that this man really, really had his finger upon some of the problems that are contained within the church. Now, I know tonight that if you, even with the small congregation that we have here, that there are some, no doubt, that are afflicted. And there are no doubt some that are happy or merry. And no doubt, even there are some tonight that are sick. Amen. Or facing some sort of sickness. You don't have to have a lot of people to have these three characteristics to be found in a group of people, amen, as we know as a church. That's right. So in the church tonight, I think you'll find those three things, those three categories, the afflicted, the happy, and the merry. And that's what I want to try to talk to us here tonight about. Is there any afflicted to be found in the church? Well, that word afflicted means troubled, disturbed. Amen. Maybe being attacked by a spiritual enemy. That's what it is to be afflicted. Amen. To have someone against you. Maybe to have a problem in your life. Something that you're really just worrying about. Maybe it's a lost loved one that they're just working against you. And everything you try to do, they're just battling back. And, you know, I mean, there's a lot of things that go on in the life of individuals tonight. Amen. There's different types of problems, and they come at various different times in our lives. Amen. You can be younger, older. It doesn't really matter tonight. Amen. All of us have an enemy called the devil, and the devil is after the church. He goes to and fro, seeking whom he may devour. Amen. And if he's out to devour, one place said he comes to seek and destroy. He's not to help. He's not interested in being a friend. He's not interested in being our companion. He's not interested in anything but destroying our spiritual life. And so is there any that are afflicted? I believe tonight that there are many that feels the affliction of the enemy. Amen. I believe that tonight. We live in a land where people are possessed. Amen. But they're not just possessed, they're oppressed. They're down. Amen. People are all the time feeling this word stress and trying to find some a cure or some way that they can kind of help out with their stressful situations. Amen. And so we try counselors and we try medicine and we just try all different types of things to try to get through this affliction. But I tell you what tonight, amen, for the church, for the child of God, for that one who is saved, been blood-bought, been forgiven, been redeemed of the Lord, amen, there's an answer for those that are afflicted. And he tells us here with the question, are there any that's afflicted? He said, let him pray. It's kind of hard at times to pray for yourself. Anybody ever been there? Amen. Felt afflicted, felt problems in your life, had troubles, things going on in your life, and you just couldn't hardly pray. You try to pray, but you just couldn't hardly seem to pray. But you know, there are some people tonight that just don't even really have a desire to even try to pray. They got a problem going on, they call the pastor up, and they say, hey, I need you to pray for me. Or they'll come to church and say, hey, I need you to pray for me. And there's little things, you know, and would you pray for me? And I'm glad tonight, I really am. I'm glad that we have a church here of people that know how to pray, but not only know how to pray, they don't care to pray. Amen. We're not very many. But I tell you what tonight, church, you are blessed beyond measure because you have friends and a church people that will pray and know how to pray. That means a whole lot. Amen. I wouldn't give you a plug nickel to go someplace where they didn't know my name or they couldn't care. Amen. What I'm going through. Amen. Just maybe enough to say a little old, you know, dinky prayer without any heart or thought. But the Bible said the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Amen. So it means a lot. It really does to have friends. It means a lot to go to somebody and say, hey, amen, would you pray? And you know that they pray, and they will pray. Amen. That means a lot to me. That's a comfort to a Christian. But this is not what James said that we should do. He said, you need to pray yourself. Pray it through. I know sometimes it ain't easy to pray. I've been there. I remember we were in Mount Vernon pastoring a church, and I really can't remember what happened in our particular life, but something, I think one of our kids was sick, and we were trying to trust the Lord and you know, asking for God to help, and I just remember it was kind of a low time in our lives, and we couldn't seem to pray it through, couldn't seem to get help, and anyway, someone else from the church called, and they were sick or something happened anyway. They were going to the hospital and say, hey, we need you to, you know, pray for us. And my first thought was, man, I can't even get a prayer through for my own child, let alone a prayer for somebody else. Amen. I remember that going through my head. But I tell you what, that does not mean tonight that you and I should not continue to pray. Amen. Job said in the 33rd chapter, in the 26th verse, he shall pray unto God, and he will be favorable unto him. And he shall see his face with joy, for he will render unto man his righteousness. If anybody ever had troubles and ever was afflicted in this life, it was Job. Man, was he afflicted from every angle that a man could be afflicted. He was. But he understood that if he could just call out upon the name of the Lord, in the end, Job was blessed. The psalmist said in the 18th chapter, in the 6th verse, in my distress I called upon the Lord and cried unto my God. He heard my voice out of his temple, and my cry came before him, even into his ears. In my distress, in my affliction, in my trial, in my trouble, amen, the Bible is full of wonderful examples of men, amen, that were in distress. There were three Hebrew children, and they were facing a fiery furnace if they did not bow. But they weren't going to do it. It was a trial of their faith. Amen. Sometimes that's what the trial is. Are you going to believe God? Are you going to trust God? Are you going to take His word for what it really is? Amen. They stood upon His promise to them, and God brought them through. Amen. Daniel was the same way tonight. He had an affliction before him, a trial of his faith, a trial of his obedience to God. But God brought him through, amen, safe and sound. In my prayer, in my distress, I called upon the Lord. Amen. Jonah, oh boy, what a wonderful guy this guy was at this one point, huh? Go down to Nineveh and preach to them people. Well, I don't want to go down there. I don't like them folks. I don't care about them. I don't want to see them saved. I don't want to see them helped. And so he got on a boat to go to Tarsus. Just the opposite direction that he needed to go. Amen. Only problem was, he couldn't hide from God. He was running, but he couldn't hide. Amen. And so Jonah's out on a boat, and a great storm comes along. They're trying to find out what the problem is. They're doing everything they can as far as a vessel to stay afloat, not to all of them to die. They've thrown everything overboard. It just gets worse and worse. They finally bring Jonah. They find him, and they begin to cast lots to try to figure out where the problem's coming from. And when it was all said and done, it pointed to Jonah. And Jonah began to tell them, amen, that he was a Jew, and there he was a servant of the living God, and that he was running from, you know, goes through the story there, and he says, the only thing I know do is throw me overboard. They didn't want to do that, but when it finally got down to it, they didn't have any other choice, and they threw him overboard. And the Bible said that the Lord had prepared a great fish, and that great fish came and swallowed him up. And while Jonah was inside of that great fish, amen, in the second chapter and the seventh verse, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. Amen. Isn't it amazing what happens to us? We're up on the mountain and we can't hardly think of God. But when we get down into affliction, down in problems and troubles in our life, all of a sudden our attention turns, amen, to God, and we remember Him. When my soul fainted within me, I remember the Lord, and my prayer came in unto Thee, into Thine holy temple. Amen. I'm glad God's a merciful God tonight. There'd be a lot of folks, including myself, amen, if it hadn't been for God's mercy, I don't know where I had been tonight or where I would be tonight. Amen. Thank God. He's a merciful God. Is there any afflicted? Let him pray. Amen. That second question was this. Is there anybody merry in the church? Well, I added in the church. Not trying to add to the Word of God. But that's why I kind of think James was saying, is there anybody merry in the church? Is there anybody happy? Are we full of grouches? People, you know, that just grumble, 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 complain, complain, complain. Huh? My wife, she got on me here a while back, said I won't say who or nothing, but she said you're complaining as much as so-and-so. Amen. And I, oh my. Oh my. Huh? Oh no. Ain't nobody. I won't even go any further than that. Is there anybody merry in the church? Is there anybody that's happy? Is there anybody that's blessed? Amen. Is there anybody that's of good cheer? Huh? Amen. Oh, we can find so much wrong, can't we? We can be so critical about things, find so many things that are wrong. Amen. But I think tonight that you and I, sitting here in this house tonight, saved, we really got a lot to be happy about. We got a lot to be merry about. In Deuteronomy, the 33rd chapter and the 29th verse, the writer said, happy art thou, O Israel. Look at that. Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee. Huh? Man, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? Thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. He just goes on, happy art thou, O Israel. Man, is there anybody else like Christians? Come on now. We took a trip to Israel, been about 10 or 11 years ago, I guess now. Man, time flies. Had about 140 Pentecostal folks, there were several preachers and then others with them. And we were on this plane, Jordanian Airlines. I wouldn't recommend it to anybody. No, sir. But we was on that one. Didn't have no choice. We was going to come home. We was on that plane, and there was an event where I passed out. And so there's several things happened. I've told that story before. But this one lady, afterwards, a stewardesses there, I went up to get a little something cool to drink, and so I was asking her for that and was talking to her, and she looked at me and she said, what kind of people are you all? I said we're Pentecostal people, and that's, you know, that's our faith, and she said, I'll tell you what, she said, we've had a lot of groups come through here. You know, different kinds of groups, you know, going on their tours and stuff. But she said, I'll just be honest, that I ain't never had anybody fly on planes like you all are. Y'all are some of the sweetest, pleasantest people to be around. You know, of course, we had a little problem there, and people got to praying, and Holy Ghost came down on that plane. I'm sure some of them didn't appreciate that. But it didn't matter to the rest of us. Amen. I tell you what, a Christian ought to be different than anybody else in this world. Amen. We're happy. We should be happy people. I know there's problems. We all have problems. I know there's times that we're going to face troubles. We all know that. But that doesn't take our joy. If it does, something's wrong with our relationship with God. Amen. We should be happy people. Job said in the 5th chapter, in the 17th verse, "Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty." Amen. One guy that's happy is the man that God corrects. We don't always like correction. Amen. Come on now. We really don't. We don't like people correcting us. Amen. But someone that God corrects, the Bible tells us that He loves those that He chasteneth. Amen. Those that He's correcting. And so if He's correcting you, if He steps on your toes, amen, if He gets kind of real close to where you're living at, amen, then thank God and be happy because that means He still loves you. He's thinking about you. He cares about you. Amen. He doesn't have to. Huh? God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. Yes, He did. But when people have rejected and rejected and rejected, it makes me wonder what, you know, is going to be the judgment someday. Huh? But all, for those who have received Him, doesn't matter what we go through, happy is that man. Psalms 127:5 said, "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Amen. Speaking of children, children were called a blessing of the Lord. Amen, y'all, right? I know some of them are devils sometimes. But they're a blessing of God. Man, the miracle of birth, it's a wonderful thing. Exciting thing. I didn't have all the pain. My wife had all the pain. But you know, I was there and you know, doing that coaching job, you know, "Come on, breathe, honey. 1, 2, 3, breathe, breathe, breathe." You know. Huh? Breathe. And wasn't doing a very good job of that. You know, I was trying not to pass out myself oh my. The joy of birth and I think the Lord loves children. We know that through His Word He loves children tonight. Amen. But happy is the man that hath his quiver full. Amen. I just think that God blesses people. He'll bless people, and people don't know how much they're blessed sometimes when they have their children. Amen. That's right. These people that don't take care of them, you know, don't love them, just let them go. There's when I drive down the road and I see a young person, there's one that I know who she is, and I know her age, and just see them walking out, and it's 11, 12 o'clock at night. You know, to me, they're not old enough to be out there, for number one. And it makes me wonder where the mom and dad is. And I'm glad tonight. I have a great responsibility with my 4 kids. That's right. Amen. God gave them to me to raise, but they're ultimately given back to Him. Amen. But I want to do my best job I can and be happy at it. Wow. Now that's tough, ain't it? Someday they'll go off and, you know, Lord tarries and get married, and, you know, that'd be a sad day in a lot of ways. But really, happy is the man, amen, that's blessed with children. Can I say it that way? Psalms 146:5, "Happy is he that hath the God of Jacob for his help, whose hope is in the Lord his God." Amen. The Bible teaches us if you don't have the Lord, you're really miserable. Your hope's miserable. Your life's miserable. You know, if you don't have that hope to call out upon Him in the midnight hour, who are you going to call on? You know, a doctor may be on vacation. The doctor may be out of town. The lawyer may be gone, you know, someplace. And all he gets an answering machine. And we were trying, we were, trying to work with the camp, trying to get some insurance. And, you know, I called, talked to the insurance guy, and well, he's gone this week, you know. That's the way men do. And you can't always depend on them. And so our hope in them is worthless, to be honest with you. But if you got your hope in the Lord, amen, happy you are. Happy you are. You can call on Him, and He's always there. Amen. May not always answer like you want Him to answer, but He always hears our cry. So happy is the man. Amen. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. Oh, yes. Happy is that man that finds wisdom. It's lacking in this hour. We have a lot of smarts. We have a lot of people that are very smart. In a lot of ways, they're educated. Education's a big thing. Hey, man, you need a degree, this kind of degree, that kind of degree. Degree upon degree. Got lots of education. Amen. But, oh, they miss the wisdom of God sometimes. Well, all the time. The wisdom of God kind of takes man and puzzles him. He don't understand God's ways. I don't understand His ways completely. Do you? Man, in the world of wisdom, doesn't line up with God's wisdom. Amen. But that man that has found God's wisdom, found the Lord, found His wisdom, is happy. Blessed, in other words. Jesus, He told His disciples, there He'd washed their feet and talked to them about being a servant, you know, how the servant wasn't greater than the master wasn't greater than the servant. And He told them there, said, if you know these things, John 13:7, if you know these things, happy are ye if you do them. Amen. Hey, you ain't got to be in the glooms all the time serving God. There ain't no place for that kind of Christian. A gloomy Christian. Amen. Come on now. Put a smile on your face. Paste a smile on your face. Get whatever it takes to get that propped up there. Amen. At least look like you got a smile on your face. Try to act like you got one. Come on now. Complaining. Amen. From the church. What's that say to the world? What's that say to the unbeliever? All you do is complain. Complain about the church. Complain about God. Complain about this. The doctrine. Complain. And then try to witness for the Lord. It just doesn't work. Amen. A man that trusts in God and believes the Lord and holds to Him. Amen. Should be a happy person. Amen. James 5:11 said, behold, we count them happy which endure. Amen. Endure. Oh my. Afflictions, troubles, trials, problems, sickness, those that endure, amen, make their way through, complete, finish, amen, are happy. Praise God. So I believe tonight that if you're happy, the answer that James gave to us is, anybody happy? He said, let him sing psalms. Amen. Let him sing psalms. I couldn't carry a tune in a bucket, you might say. Doesn't matter to God. Huh? Doesn't matter to God. Bible tells us to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Amen. The Bible says here in 1 Chronicles 16:9, sing unto Him, sing psalms unto Him, talk ye of all His wondrous works. Amen. You ought to start out by singing to the Lord. Sing to the Lord. That's where you're singing for anyway. Amen. Come on here. Blessed, happy is that man. If you're happy, sing unto the Lord. What are you going to sing about? Sing about everything He's done for you. Everything that you can think of. Amen. And if you get started and get on a roll, amen, they'll keep coming and coming. And you might sing for hours upon hours, maybe even days, when you begin to think of what God has done for you. And then when you get through with that, think of what He's done for your wife or your husband or your children or your church. Amen. Or your preacher. Just think what God's done for this world. There is so much tonight. Amen. You cannot lose your song. Amen. If you're happy, if anybody's happy, you need a song unto the Lord. Not only unto the Lord. Ephesians 5 and 19 said, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Amen. There'll come a time when you just kind of need to sing to yourself too. David was discouraged one time. Amen. Him and his men had been out to fight. And they came back home. And all of their ladies, their wives and their children were gone. Things had happened to their city while they'd been out to war. And when they come back, man, men were mad. They were upset. Some wanted to get at David. Amen. David was discouraged himself. But the Bible tells us, amen, that he just kind of reached down, pulled up his bootstraps, and he encouraged himself in the Lord. Amen. May not be anybody else by you, so you may have to do it yourself. Live by yourself. Amen. Don't get down to gloomies. Amen. Start encouraging yourself in the Lord. Amen. Praise God. Amen. So sing a psalm to yourself. Amen. Everybody knows Amazing Grace. That's not a hard song. Just start singing to the Lord and pretty soon you'll be singing to yourself. Huh? If you start out singing to the Lord, amen, you get so blessed. Right? That you'll be singing to yourself and you didn't even know it. You'd be encouraging yourself. You start out praising Him, the next thing you know it, God's blessing you. Amen. Colossians 3 and 16 said, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Amen. So there just comes a time you might have to sing to somebody else. Amen. I don't know that that's talking about just pulling up your guitar or the piano and, you know, start singing a little tune. Amen. But you can come in with a little bit of good, happy medicine. Amen. You can come along, pat them on the back. Amen. Have a little tune in your heart. Big old smile on your face. Something good to say. And you'll be surprised. Amen. How that'll lift somebody else up in the midst of when they're down and gloomy. Praise God. So you may have to sing. Sing to the Lord. You may have to sing to yourself. Amen. And there'll come a time to admonish and sing to others. We have a great responsibility as a Christian. Thirdly tonight, is there anybody in the church that is sick? Amen. Sick. That word sick, you know, includes more than just physical sickness. And actually the word, the basic of that word is weak. Weakness. Weakness. Weak. Is anybody weak? Is there anybody that's weak among you? Amen. Anybody that's weak. A lot of infirmities, there's weakness in faith. Romans 14 and 1, him that is weak in the faith, receive ye, but not to doubtful disputations. Amen. Him that is weak in the faith. You ever met up with somebody just kind of getting started in this thing? Just trying to stand for the Lord? Trying to, you know, get going and some problem comes up and they're trying to have faith, but something happens and it messes up on their faith and they're feeling like, you know, maybe they failed God, but they're trying to take a stand for God. They're just a little weak in their faith. Sometimes people don't always understand. Amen. You know, you have doctrine or belief and they're trying to live there, but they don't understand. And so they try to make decisions, they don't understand. And so the battle of the enemy comes along, And but pretty soon they feel like, you know, that they're failing. It's just a weakness in faith. Faith has to grow. Amen. We're given a measure of faith. But faith is developed. It's grown in our lives. You grow in the Lord. As you grow in the Lord, it just seems like the more faith that you have, the more faith you get, the more faith you can use. And every one of us tonight, amen, needs more faith in God. That's obvious. Because we don't see the things happening in this church that was happening in the New Testament church. And it began with faith. Amen. So there's a weakness in faith. Is there anybody here weakness or fearful? Fearful. Amen. And a writer there in 2 Corinthians in that 11th chapter. And you can read how Paul begins to tell us about his life just a little bit while he was a Christian here. But he tells instead of the Jews five times. Let me go back. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more in labors, more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent, in deaths often. Of the Jews five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, weariness, painfulness, watchings often, hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are without, that which cometh upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So all the things that he faced outside as a Christian, along with the cares that he had as being a pastor or starter of the church. He says, who is weak? And I am not weak. Who is offended? And I burn not. Amen. There's times when we all face fear. Amen. But you gotta keep trusting in the Lord. Amen. You gotta battle fear. Fear will grip your life. Fear will grip your heart. Fear will take away your faith. Amen. It'll implant doubt in your heart. And the next thing you know it, doubt is so much greater than faith. Amen. It all began because you began to fear. There's nothing to fear except God Himself. Amen. Oh, I know there's a lot of things in this world, but trust me tonight. Amen. We're to fear the one who can put us in hell. Amen. Or put us in heaven. That's the only one to fear tonight. Amen. In that sense, it must be a godly fear. But hear me tonight. Is anybody weak? Anybody weak in fear? Amen. You need to come to Jesus Christ and let Him become that great Lord, that great God. God, your King, amen, your shield, your help in your time of need. Amen. No need living in fear as being a Christian. Amen. Weak in financial need. Acts 20, 33, I've coveted no man's silver or gold or apparel. Yea, yourselves know that these hands have ministered unto my necessities and to them that were with me. I've shewed you all things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and to remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said it is more blessed to give than to receive. Amen. Well, there are people out here that are in need. I wish sometimes I just had $1 million. Man, I could help a lot of people that way. But I don't have it, and not blessed with it. And probably couldn't handle it if I had it, huh? Thank you, Brother Jim. It's the truth. Man, that love of money get a hold of you. Amen. The love of money is the root of evil. All evil. Amen. And so it's something to battle against. But oh, listen, if we can in any way, amen, it's our duty and our job as a Christian to try to be a help to those that don't have help. Amen. I know we can't always, but we try to do our best. And that's the main thing. Amen. And lastly, a weakness here, weakness as far as a physical sickness. Amen. Is there anybody sick, physically sick among us? Amen. I believe that that's an obvious answer of yes. We all have, there's people who have physical problems, some greater than others tonight. But I know a God tonight that is able, more than able, to heal us of our sickness. You say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Luke 4:40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. He could have just spoke the word. You believe that tonight? Looked out at the multitude of people. I'm kind of tired of all this. God, just heal them all right now. I believe he could have, don't you? Sure he could have. If he can stand out on the end of a boat and say, peace, be still, and the sea has to calm, the storm has to stop, he has the authority and the power to look out over a multitude and say, well, as he waved his hand, heal them all. But he didn't. It was a personal experience relationship. Amen. For each and every one of those. They were anointed. He laid his hands upon them. And they were healed. That's the answer tonight. If there's any sick that are among you, let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now, before I finish up here, let him call for the elders of the church. Elders. Elders. You know, some folks just say, well, that's the old people. Or the older people. The elderly people. I don't know that I agree with that. Because you could have somebody that's older than the church and they just got saved. And so they're not really a spiritual, you know, or as spiritual as someone maybe that's younger but being saved and in church and growing in the Lord. And so I think we got to be careful about how we just term and say, well, that's one of the older people. Mm-mm. Huh? Call for the elders of the church. I think we're talking, in some places they have those names. That's what they are. They are elder so-and-so, elder so-and-so. Amen. But we don't have that and don't do that. We call for the elders of the church. We call, in fact, for the whole church. Amen. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. Amen. People that believe. Do you see how kind of responsibility that you have tonight of being saved, being in church? How God saved you. You may have been saved for 30, 40 years tonight. You see the responsibility you have as an elder? Huh? If someone was to walk in here tonight and need a touch from God, need a healing, there's a little song that's been going over in my mind, and you know, it says, nothing but a miracle will do. I got to have a miracle. Then where would your and I faith be at? Where would your faith be at tonight as an elder of the church? Would you come in here spiritual? Did you come in here prayed up? Did you spend some time in prayer before you come to church? You know, it'll make a difference in how the church service goes. Come on, it'll make a difference how the song service goes. It'll make it, you know, it doesn't matter who's doing the song leading. It doesn't matter. You don't have to have an evangelist to have revival. That's right. That's sometimes what we think, and that kind of bothers me sometimes. And you know, they'll have somebody and they'll be there for 4 weeks. And then there's other churches down through God's laid on their heart to have this particular preacher. But you know, we got to have them to have revival. And I think we're failing in our Pentecostal churches. I don't care to tell preachers that either. I like going on, you know. Guy ain't got nothing else planned, go on. But if there's others, we don't have to have a certain preacher to have revival. Amen. We don't have to have a certain singer. We don't have to have a certain this, certain that. Amen. What we got to have certain is the Holy Ghost and the Spirit of God moving in the church. Amen. Therefore, you can have a revival of God. And so you have a responsibility as an elder in the church, amen, to come prayed up. Amen. You don't have time to get up here sometime and begin to beg God to forgive you and all this here. That person needs help. Amen. Brother Webb was telling in this, I'm going to quit here in just a minute. If you want to come and get me a song. him and Brother Suits was working one day over at the church, and a guy called, and Brother Suits come out and said, "Hey," said, "you ready to pray?" And you know, the Brother Webb's mentioned, "Oh man, I'm have to go home and get a bath, you know, get a suit and tie on or something." He said, "Well, you ain't got time for that. He's coming." And said he was an alcoholic and he'd been in jail and I don't know what all the things he'd done. And so Brother Webb, you know, he said, "My first thought was, man, we're in trouble. He's probably going to be demon possessed. And, you know, if he's got into all that kind of stuff, said this is going to be a mess." And hey, he didn't have time. He was on his way. He didn't have time to go pray, you know, an hour before God and try to get a hold of the Lord. Amen. There's times you need to stay prayed up. You need to be ready to pray. You need to be ready to get a hold of God. Somebody's life is depending upon you having faith. And so James said, "If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord." It's Bible. I don't care what anybody says. It's Bible. Amen. "And they cast out," Mark 6:13, "and they cast out many devils, anointed with oil, many that were sick, and healed them." Mark 16:17, "And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." God ain't no liar. The Lord ain't no liar. And so it has to not be on His end. It has to be on the church's end. Amen. James 5:15. "And the prayer of faith," and that's where it goes to. The prayer of faith. "If there's any sick among you, let him call for the elders of the church, anoint him with oil, laying their hands upon him, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick." Amen. God has help for the church. God still believes in the church. He has a remedy for our spiritual condition. Amen. Yes, there's going to be afflictions. Yes, there are going to be those that are happy. Yes, there are going to be those that are sick. But He has a remedy for those problems tonight. Amen. And I don't know about you, if I'm not in the category of affliction, and if I'm not in the category of sickness, amen, then that happiness better be overflowing then. If it ain't, get in these altars and seek the Lord. Amen. We have a responsibility tonight, church. And I'm afraid that we're failing as a New Testament church. God's moving. We felt His presence and His power. Amen. But oh, wouldn't it be greater if we could see God just work in a greater way? Amen. Saving the lost, those that are bound by alcohol and drugs, amen, those that are bound by pornography, to be brought in, delivered. Huh? Come on. The church. The church of the living God. Let's stand. Amen. Bless the Lord. Praise the Lord. Glad you've come to church. Amen. God's good tonight. God is real good, and He cares about us, and His Word is true. And I believe that tonight. Amen. If we'll serve Him, live for Him, and love Him, man, He will make a difference in your life. He has mine, and He'll make a greater difference the more that I trust and believe in Him, work for Him. Everybody, we'll come find you a place to pray, and let's seek the Lord a little while tonight. Amen. Let's seek the Lord a little while tonight. Amen. God is so good. God is so good. He has help for the church. He has a remedy for our problems in the church. Our spiritual needs, our spiritual weaknesses, our spiritual sickness, our affliction, our trials, our trouble. He's got a remedy for it. All we got to do is follow the Bible. and trust in His Word. Amen. He'll forgive. He'll have mercy. He'll show love to us. Amen. Because God is good tonight. God bless you.